Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Herd Fit Podcast with Dr. Sam Ree and myself, Coach David Syverson. This podcast is aimed at helping anyone and everyone looking to enhance their healthy lifestyle through fitness, nutrition, and most importantly, mindset.
All right, welcome back to the Herd Fit Podcast. I'm Coach David Syverson. I'm here with my co-host, Dr. and Coach Sam Ree. Back to just us two today after speaking with Amy last week. And we are going to kind of keep the discussion a little bit on the sport for just one more week. And then we have a couple other exciting guests coming up in the coming weeks. And we want to talk about some solutions, right? Sam, what's one thing we always talk about with coaches? It's like, all right, don't just talk about problems, you know, bring solutions to the table, yep. Right? Like, I don't want to hear about problems. I want to hear about solutions after we talk about the problems. And CrossFit Sport is, they're struggling, dude. Like, they, and I love them and I'm loyal to them and I love the people at the top. But if I was not involved in CrossFit as an affiliate owner, as an athlete, as a competitor, as someone that just has a lot of like love and appreciation for guys like Dave Castro and Boz and Wilson, who I got to speak with a few weeks ago, and our new CEO, Don Fall, I would look at it from the outside and be like, this is a disaster. Like, just way too many like mistakes that are getting repeated over and over. And I do think that they are really proactive with trying to find solutions to problems. They do. They change the season up every year.
Yeah.
But some of the issues that are reoccurring are really alarming to me, and I still don't think that the people that are making the decisions have come up with the right solution. And we're going to talk about a couple of our solutions that might work, that might not work, why they could work, there's no way they could work. And we also, I just want to put the disclaimer out there, we don't know all the details to their problems. But I do want to talk from the consumer perspective as an affiliate manager, as a coach, as an athlete, as a competitor, that I'm kind of getting sick of a few things with the shortcomings that my opinion, they're really easy to fix. And any, like, as a business owner here, when we have issues all the time, it happens. You have to try and simplify them as much as you can and knock out the easy parts first, or at least the foundation of the problem first, right? And then you kind of work your way up. And that's what I want to do here. So, you know, just opening thoughts on this, Sam, where, you know, you're into the sport. You're not a diehard, but you're into it. You're very involved in it. And you now have a different label next to your name in terms of what you are to CrossFit Bison as a part owner now, that I think that what you say about this means a lot because what you think about this does mean a lot because of how long you've been involved. And Bison is one of the biggest gyms in the world when it comes to open registration and quarterfinal registration, that I think what you say matters. So what are your opening thoughts? You don't have to hold back if you don't want to, because you know, I think CrossFit needs to hear some of this stuff.
I've heard people talk, especially on other podcasts, talking Elite Fitness and Hiller and so forth, about what the problems are and how they think it should be fixed. You're right. A lot of it is complaining, not so many solutions.
Right, exactly, yeah.
But I would really like to hear your take on the solutions, because I've not been very happy with the solutions that a lot of people have proposed. Mm-hmm. I also know that CrossFit, and we know them, their leadership is very strong-minded.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to take a lot for them to change what they think is right.
Mm-hmm.
And so any solutions that are proposed have to really resonate with what they believe. I know you're a true CrossFit person. Like, your beliefs, and I think HQ beliefs, actually align very closely.
I agree. Yeah.
Where I've seen their programming going, where I've seen them sort of try to approach their philosophy of growth, it really meshes, I think, with what our affiliate has done, which is, I think, why we've been so successful.
Mm-hmm.
But the solutions have to really align with the way they think in order for them to implement them.
Yep. Yeah. And I think that is probably one of the biggest challenges that Dave Castro and Don Fall and Boz have, that you have to get every voice in that room to align. And one thing I know about CrossFitters, a lot of egos are involved in this place, and people that have a lot of success outside of CrossFit. So they're confident in their ability to make decisions and make calls because they've had success in these leadership type positions. And I would love to be a fly on the wall, and I'm never going to be, but like, I would like to see some of these conversations that go down, that who really is like the alpha in there, or are there too many alphas in there? There's too many cooks in the kitchen. where because of that, they can't come up with like a really streamlined solution. And a lot of that comes from you have to check your ego in these meetings and these decision-making processes. And I give credit to Dave Castro for going. He's pretty transparent on his weekend reviews that he puts on YouTube.
Yes.
I don't think he gives us everything, and he shouldn't, but he's pretty transparent. And that's one of my biggest complaints with CrossFit is how bad they are at being transparent with issues, with communication. They had a huge one this year that really pissed me off. And he at least will go on there, and he acknowledges that there's mistakes, and he acknowledges that we're making changes next year. He said there's going to be a huge change next year. I have a feeling I know it's going to be too.
What pissed you off?
When the leaderboard was supposed to be final, it didn't become final until I think 18 hours after.
Oh, I see.
And that sounds not like a big deal, but when you're on the when you're checking like refresh, if I made it, if not, if they made it, if they didn't, we need to make plans to communicate this to the gym, stuff like that. And you tell us it's going to be ready at 8 or 9 p.m. Eastern, and it's not available till the noon the next day. And in that time, there's no communication that, hey, guys, there's a bug. We have an issue. I texted someone at CrossFit, and I said, this is what you guys are really bad at. I was like, you're not, just let us know you made a mistake or something happened, right? Like if here at Bison, if we said, you know, you couldn't design it, what happens every single time Zen Planner goes down? Remember that Zen Planner was going down every now and then?
Yeah.
Right around 5 p.m., 6 p.m. when most of our people sign up.
Yeah.
The first thing we do is go onto Facebook, hey guys, there's an issue with Zen. You know, if we didn't like have, and it has nothing to do with us either, but we did let the gym know that, you know, we notified Zen, we notified their help desk, they're on top of it. And then what do? When we hear back from Zen, hey guys, they're working on it. So at least you guys know that we know that there's a huge issue. And that's that. But Dave Castro, he only does these once a week, so that doesn't help. You know, we need more real-time communication. And in today's world, not being able to communicate in a timely fashion, there's no excuse. There are so many mediums, so many outlets you can put some information, a simple one-liner, there's an issue, we're working on it, goodbye. That's it. That's all you got to do. It's very simple. So that's where I think Dave Castro does a good job of being transparent, but I wish the whole company was a little bit more transparent with issues like that. So let's talk about some of like the history of the games. I'm not going to go give a history lesson, but I want you guys to know where this came from. All right, you used to be able to sign up for anything that you wanted to do, including the games. Right, I want to sign up, I want to go compete at the ranch, and then it became I have to qualify. And then the Open started in 2011, and if you finished, it used to be top 60, then it was top 40, they switched the regions around, but basically you started at the Open, and if you were good enough, you qualified for regionals. And that was really what helped CrossFit Games take off, that whole regional scene, going to these big arenas, and people, you know, traveling all over the country to go watch these athletes. And then if you qualified from the games from there, that's when the actual CrossFit Games took off, and they've switched locations and kind of feels and everything. And you also have to keep in mind, Castro says this all the time, it's a very young sport. If you want to go research, he says this all the time, go research what Major League Baseball was in its first 10 years and NFL. And I mean, those guys are changing rules every year to make it better. So there is some grace given to, I don't mind making mistakes. Like that's a part of any process, any growing process. And they are still very early in the process. But repeated mistakes is where I start to get a little bothered by. So basically when Greg Glassman took regionals away after 2018, and then COVID comes, and then, you know, three or four different CEOs in a matter of 4 years, it's just a lot of instability in the company overall. And the games kind of stayed alive, but they were qualifying through sanctionals and online, and then they got invites, and then they had everyone, one person from every country. Change. Basically, I think we've found a rhythm, okay? We are back to now to a three-week open. And if you're good enough, you're going to qualify for quarterfinals. I don't care what they do with it. Top 10%, top 25%. 25% makes sense to me because of the money. You get more money. Money grab. Call it a money grab. Done. It's a money grab. Awesome. They need the money. So if they don't have the money, there's no games, okay?
I thought it was good for affiliates and a lot of athletes, too.
Absolutely. So I'm all about, I don't want to make it top 50%, but I think 25% is a very good number, okay? And if you qualify for semifinals for age groups, it's another online competition for open division. You go to a live competition that eventually brings people to the games. I think it's going to stay in that rhythm. I think it's a really good flow. Most people like a three-week open. Quarterfinals are really cool. I think they're more affiliate friendly now. Semifinals are really cool, whether it's masters or individual. And then you got the games. Do you like that flow?
Yes, I think that that sort of mimics what sort of worked before, but in a more cost-efficient way. And I think it's the accessibility that they presented this year was they're all welcome changes, and I think that if they kind of stick to an outline like this, that would work.
Yeah, so that's what we're at. Simplify the problem. Start from the bottom. Create your format. And I think CrossFit has created their format. I hope they don't change it next year, right? There's been a couple of rumors that it's, you know, you're going to qualify for the semifinals from the Open or something like that, or they bring back regionals. I think this is the solution that they found. They've tweaked it multiple times. It works. 3-week Open, online quarterfinals, semifinals, in your gym for Masters, and an actual location for Open Division. Cool. Then go to the games. I don't want to get too into how many people from each region qualify. Like, that's something that's like math, like how many people are registering from certain regions. Like, I don't want to get into that. The train wreck of two things: leaking workouts. You know, like, this happened twice. It happened without Dave Castro, and he said, and he kind of like scoffed at it, laughed at it. And now it happened with Dave Castro in charge, and he's pretty pissed off about it. He went on his Weekend Review and said he was pissed off about it. Why does that happen? I'm not a tech guy, so I'm not really sure what happens. You know, something got posted as public, and it shouldn't have been public. Someone pressed the wrong button.
Which
leak? The Open leak, the okay, Open workout. Yeah, yeah, so 24.3.
Yep.
Does it bother you that it gets leaked?
It just shows a sign of potential shoddiness. So it's not like that it's such a big deal, but it just shows you, like, you don't have everything squared away.
Right.
So you're like, okay, if they're leaking this, what else isn't, like,
yeah,
quite right?
Right. And now the semifinal workouts get leaked. And Castro also said this, you know, he doesn't know who did it, but he goes, now that we're going to these semifinal satellite locations, you know, there's hundreds of people that need to know the workouts.
Well, he said 51.
Yeah, okay, outside of CrossFit.
Yes.
So I would assume that number right there, one of those people from those competitions leaked it to someone.
Yep.
And that's kind of like, that is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, we know that process. We had to sign NDAs before the Open announcement.
Yep.
And any one of us could have leaked it.
Absolutely.
But for the grace of God, like, listen, there are people who are willing to do that.
Right.
So
yeah, I think that, you know, big solution there would be control the narrative, put the workouts sooner before the people have to know, and hey, it's not a surprise anymore. Whatever, honestly, like, if anything, it might make for a better show.
The technical issues, he got pissed.
Yes,
and
someone dropped the ball there.
I will be shocked if that ever happens again. Technically,
yeah.
The vendors and other people who have to know who leak it, like. Unfortunately, if anything, he said there are going to be changes. What will probably happen is people will suffer because of it. Like, they won't release them, like, the later, or the vendors won't have as much time
to set up.
Like, there's going to be some negative changes overall. It's like, well, now you're ruined for everyone.
Right.
So we're not going to be able to release these properly.
Yeah. So whoever released that, really poor job by you, like, really selfish decision, because now there's, like, going to be consequences that other people have to deal with now. And it's just not right. And really the only reason anyone would leak a workout to a coach or an athlete is for selfish reasons, mm-hmm. You know, and like that we need less of that. So the biggest issue that we've had so far this season, and this has been an ongoing issue, and this is why I'm still bothered why they haven't released it or haven't fixed this yet, the online judging, the subjectivity to that, and giving out penalties. You know, Sam's illustration that he gave is one of the best ever about getting a speeding ticket. Yes, athletes can't really be that upset about getting caught cheating / not hitting the standards while others didn't. That's just not the way it works. Okay? However, is there a better system to prevent this from happening, and or can you find a way to actually check the other people, meaning getting more cops on the side of the road to check if everyone's speeding to make it more, quote, fair, even though life is not supposed to be fair, it's never going to be fair. Is there a solution to this? And I think there are, and I think we're going to see something drastic next year. Does it bother you as much as it bothers me that every year there's a huge stink about online judging and videos, and these people are getting away with this and these people are not getting away with that? There's got to be something that can be done. What do you think? Does it bother you? Or is it just like, hey, it's like umpires calling strikes and balls is subjective?
The problem is, to me, the problem isn't the judging of the videos. The problem is there is such a sustained outcry every year, and perception drives the narrative. So I don't necessarily think CrossFit's doing anything horrible, but when you have so many people making a big stink about it, that perception is what the issue is. So I have listened to these athletes and other people on these podcasts, and they're like, the process needs to be opened up. We need to be able to know what's going on with the penalties and how they're deciding and how many people are looking at these videos and what standards are they looking at. Are they looking at it slow motion or fast? And forget that. CrossFit will never open up that system for others to look at. You want to look at it because you want your finger in the pie.
And to figure out how to game it.
How to game it. So screw the athletes who say open up the system. That is not the solution.
Yeah.
The solution's going to have to be CrossFit has to control the media perception with this. So how do you control the media perception with it and yet still be cost effective, still make it fairer, still make it work within their control?
And Dave Castro does a decent job of that because he actually shared some statistics, objective statistics, of the amount of videos that were watched, the amount of videos that received penalties, and the amount of videos that did not receive penalties. And it's overwhelming that almost all the videos that they are not that are watching are not getting major penalties. Some are minor penalties, and a lot are no penalties. And they are catching guys. And he put out the number of thousands of videos. So that means that that's peeling back the curtain enough that you can give some objective numbers. And people like statistics. So this is what I think idea number one is, and I had a feeling they were going to do this, and they are doing this for something called the Service Open. So the Service Open is something I think you had to sign up for prior to the Open. And if you were military, police, fire, you can hashtag affiliate owner, affiliate coach, and you can take on another kind of like a quarterfinal, semifinal level.
Yeah, but it's Rogue who's running this.
Yeah, it's Rogue that's running it. And you have to video things, which is weird because there's one with running in it, but don't want to get too deep into that. They have three leaderboards. Leaderboard number one, competitive with videos. So you have to video if you're in that leaderboard. Part two, community RX, no videos, meaning it's your own leaderboard, you're not videoing, and then community scaled, which is basically you're scaling workouts, no video. Only competitive, that's first section, are eligible to move on / get prizes. And so I think they might make people sign up next year for, hey, if you're going to go the competitive track, you have to video everything. Open, quarters, semis. Now, let's say you qualify for quarters. I'm like, hey, I'm probably not going to move on, or I don't want to move on. You don't have to video, but you're not going to be on the leaderboard. You're going to be on it's like your own filtered leaderboard where it's just a bunch of people. We're just going to use their scores as reported. We're not checking them, but there's no prize. There's no moving on. And then you have your scaled leaderboard, which is no videos, you know, just submit your score, same thing, honor code. And, well, Dave, what if people cheat? Doesn't matter because they're not moving on. They're not going to affect anyone's score. That's the direction I think we're going to go in. I don't think it's going to go well. I don't like it either. But that, Dave Castro has been saying, you guys want a solution. Well, we're going to have a solution I think some of you are going to complain about. And I think that's it.
I have my thoughts about this. Why? Tell me why you don't like this.
I hate the idea of separating the community so much between like competitive and really good CrossFitter that doesn't want to compete. Example, this is what's going to happen. Let's say we have an athlete that's a really good lifter, right? Struggles with a lot of other things, but a really good lifter. And there's an open workout next year with a workout, blah, 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 and then a one rep max snatch, right? And that lifter doesn't get to see their name in that leaderboard with the competitive athletes. It's a really cool feeling to be like, wow, I came in 38,000th place in this workout, but I was 104th in the world in the snatch. Isn't that cool? Like, that's out. You're no longer going to be able to see that unless you just manually pretend to put your numbers in that leaderboard. And that, to me, starts separating, fracturing the community at large, that if we get people on separate leaderboards because you like to compete and you don't, and that happens a lot. We have a lot of athletes that are never going to qualify for anything beyond quarters or semis, but they have a specialty that they can be top 10, top 15 in the world in a certain workout, and now you rob them of that experience by having them in their own leaderboard. in a leaderboard where people aren't technically allowed to cheat because there's no one's going to ask them for this score. Does that make sense?
It does. I understand, and I figured it would be a philosophical viewpoint that it's a collective, not divided.
Right.
But the issue is let's suppose that person was competing this year, and they didn't record their videos, and they were in the top 50.
Yep.
And CrossFit was like, hey, where's your video? We need your video for this.
Yeah.
You're in the top 50. And they're like, I don't have a video. They're like, zero.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And that has happened.
Sucks. Yep.
So is that a better solution? I don't know.
It does suck that if someone doesn't have a shot at qualifying for the next stage, but they crushed a workout and CrossFit's like, let me see that video. And like, I don't have it. Well, okay. Zero's a little rough, but
I mean, look at Mandy. Like,
yeah, right.
She submitted whatever she had
because
she didn't think she was going to make
semis. Yep.
But the videos did show her workouts, maybe not quite to the standard, like, you know, the recommended standard.
Right.
But she had something. Yep. But if she had nothing, let's suppose she had no videos whatsoever.
Yep.
Don't you think that would have really hurt her in terms of qualifying for semis?
Yeah. Yeah. If they were really strict with that, which in some people think they should be, she wouldn't have qualified and she would have robbed her of that first semifinal experience. And, you know, and that whole like experience that she just had this weekend, that might lay a foundation for her long-term future as a competitor. And again, she would have been robbed of that. So
I like the philosophy. I believe, and I agree with you. I just don't know technically or logistically that it would solve the controversy. Like, so if we didn't do this, well, let's talk about the other solution.
Right, yeah. The other one is my favorite one. It hasn't been done yet. It's the online judges. So basically, you leverage the community, right? There's a lot of us. And basically, if you pass the judges course, you're allowed to watch any video you want. And you make everyone that wants to qualify for the next stage. I'm just talking about quarterfinals here, not the open. Open, I think we have to keep it honor code. Just submit your scores. You qualify, great. If not, don't. And if you're in quarterfinals, and you're talking about thousands of athletes, like there were 23,000 masters athletes alone, right? If you want to qualify for the next stage, I think you should make the rule that you have to video all workouts, and you have to post the video with your score so that I can go onto the leaderboard. Anyone that I want, I can click on their video, and I can watch it. And you know there's thousands of people that will do this. And I watch it. Hey, good video, bad video. And you're going to have some immature people out there maybe, you know, giving thumbs down for a lot of different personal reasons. Like, oh, I don't like that bitch from that gym down the street. I'm going to give thumbs down. I don't think that means anything. That won't affect anyone's score. But I think CrossFit could have a metric where, like, hey, if over 20% of someone's votes are negative, we need to go. It's flagged. We have to go check that one out. But if these people have, you know, 91% of their videos thumbs up, they're moving on. We're not even going to spend a second watching them. And that's where I think you can use. Now you have thousands, maybe tens of thousands of people doing the judging for you 24/7, 365, because it's a global thing. Whereas I bet the people that are watching videos, it's like, all right, well, tomorrow morning I'll get it done. Tomorrow afternoon, like I can't, where this would just around the clock for a week straight. You have people watching videos. You know, the danger in it is that some of these, you know, you might have a lot of unqualified people doing this and doing a bad job of online judging, and it could create more work, honestly, for some. I still think some people are going to sneak between the cracks. Just based on numbers, like you're going to get lucky. Like you might be the 188th ranked 35 to 39 year old and not one person watched any of your videos, you know? But I think I think the net positive, net negative, it would end up net positive for CrossFit if they did this.
How would that have solved this year's controversy? So for example, Paige Powers got dinged on a video.
Yep.
And I assume that CrossFit's still going to watch like the top 40 or 50 videos of every division, right? Yeah, They're not just going to trust the crowd.
Yeah.
And so they saw it. They assigned a major penalty to it. She gets dumped down. Like, does the crowdsourcing help that in any way? Because what happened was the athletes were pissed that it was a major penalty. They had no decision on how many, like, it was an arbitrary penalty that dumped them all the way down. And then you have like 400 videos that you have to go through. Are you going to use the crowdsource to help judge those 400 videos between the top 40 and Paige Powers, who's now like 500th? I don't know. Like, that gets kind of complicated.
It does get complicated. I think Paige Powers, someone like her, would still be screwed. Like, if you're getting bumped down to 600th place because of a major penalty, you're screwed.
Right. Like, I think that's really where the issue is. Yeah. It's not like everyone who's like 300th to 400th. It's like the top 40 or whatever.
Do you think Paige Powers deserves to be in semis?
No, but because she had 40 cleaner videos ahead of her, so it didn't matter if she was 40, if she got a minor penalty, got right. bumped to 41.
Right.
If the 40 videos that they saw were better than her mm-hmm. performance, then she doesn't deserve to go.
Right. That's why I think Paige Powers, it's kind of like you're screwed whether this changes or not.
But it depends on the penalty, like
how severe
should yeah. that penalty be.
And I think CrossFit gets the final say on that in this scenario. Where, like, if you and I are judging people from our home and we just give thumbs down, we're not assigning minor or major.
Right. But I think that's where the athletes don't like it. They're like, well, why are you giving me a 20% penalty?
Right.
It should only be 5.
It was just 18 step-ups.
Right.
You know, like, why not just deduct 18 reps from my score?
So I think that it's the penalty part okay. of it that yep. I think bother people a lot, too.
A little inconsistent there.
Yeah. Or opaque. Let's just put it that way. Like, they don't know what criteria. I think maybe if you post a video, you have to say everyone has to see it. So I want to see Paige Powers' video. I want to see, like,
Vellner.
Yeah, like, him posting it publicly
yeah.
made it so much better, because you could watch and be like, oh, now I understand why they gave him that major penalty. That yep. makes sense.
Yep.
So it's like, I would say, instead of crowdsourcing it, just say, hey, listen, if you're going to post a video as an athlete, it has to be public.
Has to be public.
Everyone can see it. Yep. So then when I see Paige Powers' major penalty, I could be like, oh, yeah.
There's no more stink.
No yeah. way should she go. Or, hey, that's a little minor. I don't know. Maybe she should go. And that way, at least the athletes can all see each other's videos.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you
that
have
could
to,
be a good solution.
You're giving up a lot of privacy in order
you are.
To do that.
Make everything public. I mean, that's fine. You are just opening the door to so much more criticism. I mean, if you really watch, even the best athletes in the world, like, when they're moving so fast, like, there's a lot of, like, that's not perfect movement. It's not. You know, even the best, like, they get away with a lot of, like, especially like barbell cycling type stuff and ring muscle up stuff.
It might mean more work for CrossFit to address some of the controversy when people are like, hey, 41, number 40, like, yeah. better than 40. I don't know, but I feel like if you open up every video, because I will say when I saw Vellner's video, it explained a lot to me.
Yep. Okay. All right. Outsourcing age groups and teams. All right. What I mean by this is CrossFit finds someone, you know, they have Bob and Joe, and Bob and Joe is, I know they're receiving CrossFit support from CrossFit. Same thing with the teen division, adaptive, all this. If their issues are a lack of resources, right? They just don't have enough people that can watch videos, right? And again, you just do the math on it. You just don't have time to watch all these videos. They might be better off. The CrossFit Games, to me, as much as I love Masters, and it's all about the individual. Like, that's really what the individual, that's what the games are to me.
Yep.
Teams are kind of like a sideshow.
Yep.
Right? Masters are a sideshow.
Yep.
So they've already made step one of like, all right, hey, Joe and Bob, go take the Masters to Alabama. Get them out of here. You know, we'll still call them the games by legends, whatever, right? Did the same thing with teens. I think next up might need to be the teams, TEAMS, right? Not just the teens. And so that they can just put all of their attention. I want to quote, just go back to like a Ben Bergeron thing that I heard probably 10 years ago, where he was running gyms and competitor programs, and he ran a really cool competition called the East Coast Championship. I remember it was like when I first got into CrossFit and I was watching, I'm like, man, I want to go there someday. Mm-hmm. It was at this huge convention hall. It was like a kind of like what Wodapalooza was prior to Wodapalooza. It was indoors in the Northeast, and it was really successful. And Bergeron pulled the plug on it for the reason of, he goes, I just felt like I was trying to do 8 things really well. And they were going well, but I actually would rather go do 4 things perfect than 8 things kind of well. Mm. And that was the one thing. I remember listening to it like yesterday. I remember like what car I was in, everything, where he just like, I'm pulling the plug on it because I want to make the other things that I'm doing better. Mm. where I think CrossFit could make the games better by getting rid of the sideshows and putting all of their attention on the judging and coming up with a better system for the open division of the CrossFit games. And I'm not saying get rid of Masters. Like, hell no. I mean, we're huge. 23,000 people want to do something beyond the open. But just outsource it completely and just be like, your problem. You guys figure it out. We're out. We will help with here and there, maybe some funding and sponsorships. But the whole leaderboard video review process on you guys. What do you think about that?
I mean, it would help decrease the manpower need that CrossFit would need if they only focused on the individuals in terms of video review. I don't know if it would still solve some of the issues that the athletes have been yammering about in terms of the degree of penalties and all that sort of stuff. The process is still, you know, opaque and yep. We don't have any information about it. But you're right. It would take the folk, like, they wouldn't have to worry about that. But then what do Bob and Joe have to, like, what are they going to do with it? They still have the same problem CrossFit had. You know, or the teens or teams or whomever, like, now they're like, okay, what do we do to figure this out? Like, Bob and Joe wrestled mightily at Legends dealing with the videos. And what they ended up doing is they themselves watched like a million videos, which drove them nuts.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's just passing the buck for them.
I mean, I'm not even talking from the Masters perspective. I'm talking about from CrossFit. What should CrossFit do? And I think to me, it seems like they can't figure this out. So if you can't figure something out, have someone else try to figure it out. And it's just no longer your issue. Because right now, I have a bad outlook on CrossFit for this. I look down on them. They can't figure this thing out.
What happens if Bob and Joe are like, you know what? We're coming up with a totally radical solution for Masters. You get a someone has suggested it. You get a certified judge, they come over, they judge you, blah, 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 blah. And then CrossFit's like, you know, that doesn't really line with us, and we're putting our name CrossFit Games Masters on this.
Yep.
Like,
now you fracture
it. Yeah, and so it's like that giving up of control thing that CrossFit HQ always has an issue with.
Yeah.
Like, they're willing to give up some control, but I don't see where they would give up that much control.
Right. Because it's still a pretty big lucrative business. They don't want to give up on that. And I always say everyone's going to be a Masters at some point. You can't push them to the side. It's a huge part of CrossFit. So
the revenue is driven by Masters. We know that.
Yep.
Like, you look at registrations, how much money, the athletes, the demographics. Like, I think they're going to want to try to keep some of that.
Yeah, I agree. My last idea is I'm having a hard time putting into words. I was actually sitting on my computer last night. I was like stressing over this for like a half hour while Brock was taking a bath. I was like, all right, I got to just kind of just talk about it and just see if something comes out. And putting more on the affiliates. I wonder if there's a way to put more of this pressure and solution to, hey, affiliates, you're going to have to figure this out. And my thought was, you know, don't ask people to do work without paying them money. So make every athlete that registers for quarters or semis pay an extra $5 to $10. All right, let's keep the math easy and say it's $10. So it's $60 instead of $50. $50, that's going to CrossFit. $10's going to the affiliate. And because now the affiliate's going to make money, right? Not a lot, right? We had, I think, 50, 55 people sign up for quarters. It would have been $550 in our pocket. But it does make us a little bit more motivated to be like, all right, we need to be the ones that are accountable for the athletes moving in our gym. So I, as the affiliate manager, validate every score in the open all 3 weeks, like literally one by one. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of times I just click, 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 right? Like, I don't like go to the leaderboard and go through the papers and be like, all right, did Susan Ree actually get 101 or did she get 102? Like, I'm trusting that she submitted her right score, right? Every now and then I'll say, like, all right, make sure they put RX and scaled. For the quarters and semis, if I am responsible for their reps, their quarterfinals, I'm going to come up with my solutions at the gym to be like, hey, this is a legit score. This is not a legit score. This is, you know, she actually hit this weight. She actually did not hit this weight. And, you know, you're still videoing and you're still sending in the videos, but it could be a sort of like a system where, hey, if you have a lot of athletes that are you know, their videos are garbage. They're getting away with no reps. Our video review team is not agreeing with you and what you actually validated as the affiliate manager. I don't want to say penalize, but you come down on them in some way, right? Meaning, I don't validate anything for the quarterfinals. Everyone just sends their scores in. I don't even look at, like, I don't see them. They can submit fake scores. I'll never know. CrossFit is responsible for making sure it's the right score. What if everyone from my gym had to video, I validate that. I have to watch their video, or I find my staff to validate videos, and I pay you guys $10 a video. Hey, everyone on the staff, $5 a video, right? Validate that score for me. Now it's on us. Problem, I know people will cheat, right? Like, I want my athlete to make the games. Like, I do know that, but I think that's the case no matter what. You're always gonna be fearful. But now it's like you have someone to point the finger at. Like, oh, Dave, you had 7 people make semis, but our video review team disagreed with your ability to validate their scores, and there's some sort of penalty that comes down from that, or that your athletes get a huge penalty because of it, which basically knocks them out.
I mean, I think that would be good for policing the community. I think some of these athletes are not affiliated with any box.
True.
And
that's true.
Especially the pro level ones. So that wouldn't necessarily work for them if they're independent.
What if you said you had to go to an affiliate to do the
I mean, that would be nice.
Most of them do them at an affiliate.
They do.
Yeah.
I would say maybe not. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to trust the affiliates. There's so many uneven. Quality's a little uneven out there.
I agree.
Maybe as a proxy, using that professional athletes, the CrossFit Professional Athlete Association,
yep.
As a proxy in some way. Maybe not necessarily in terms of validating the videos, but if CrossFit was like, here are the standards. It's you, your organization is responsible for making sure that the athletes know these are the standards. Like, a lot of it, again, is just getting, like, if the pro athletes, the pro level athletes were happy, there would be no controversy. It's not like you and I are complaining.
Right.
Going on to these podcasts.
Right.
It's the ones who are using this as their livelihood.
Right.
So how do you get them to shut up about this? The main thing is, mostly it's about the level of penalties and the stand, and how do you account for standards? And then the video review, like, you know, order, like in terms of ranking. But I think if you got that PFA or whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
involved and said, listen, we're going to do what we always do, but you guys are the ones that we're going to throw these standards towards. And if there's an issue with standards or problems, like, the Professional CrossFit Association, Athlete Association will handle that part of it.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I don't know. But, like, just to take the heat off of HQ, because a lot of people are like, well, they never enforce standards and blah, 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 blah. Like, I agree, another entity can get involved. Like you said, it could be the affiliates, could be the Professional Athlete Association. Someone to act as a proxy, like you want, to help sort of navigate this, mitigate some of the media exposure that's so bad,
right?
And at least make the athletes feel like they have some input.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think CrossFit HQ would ever let there be a mediating type of session where, you know, like how they have penalties for certain sports and then like it goes to arbitration and then they're like, this was, you know, just because you threw the basketball at someone, you don't get thrown out for 5 games, you get thrown out for 3 or
right.
something like that.
Right, right.
Like, I don't think they would ever give up that level of authority, but they might give some amount of input to another proxy to help with this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think every solution that we come up with, like, they got to get help from someone else.
Yeah.
They probably don't have the funding to create their own staff and hire more people and pay more people.
Agreed.
So then you kind of leverage the community a little bit more. All right, well, that's it, guys. Those are our solutions for the issues that are in this CrossFit season leading up to the games. I think the games are pretty good now. It's just like, it's a machine. Like, once you get to that stage, I think everything is fine. But these stages leading up to that just need to be cleaned up a little bit. I hope CrossFit comes up with a good solution next year. It sounds like something big is coming in terms of a change.
Yep.
And, you know, just be ready for it. And I think that anytime we change anything, you know, people are, their initial reaction is almost always negative, but just kind of keep the open mind to two things. A, they're trying to fix it, and B, it can be better. It might be better, but it does require, you know, at least some positive mindset and not just, you know, walking to a room and trying to find what's wrong with it. Like, you have to kind of put your best effort into whatever change they throw your way, and then we go from there.
Make sure you buy a GoPro.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Thank you, everybody, for taking the time out of your day to listen to the Herd Fit podcast. Be on the lookout for next week's episode.